things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole wide world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keeps us apart. I wish you knew what it means to me. Then you see and agree if a woman should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live all I'm longing to live. Wish I could do all the things that I can do. Though I'm way overdue, I'd be starting. Then I'd sing, cause I know how it feels to be free.
So much. That was awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Webster, and I'm honored to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to those in our sanctuary and to everyone who is online. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. Central, and you can watch our services anytime on demand at our website or on YouTube. Our holiday giving tree is up in the garden court, and you're invited to bring in new, unwrapped gifts to be donated to Prism's holiday toy shop, where parents can shop for their children. Pick up one of the gift idea cards currently decorating the tree in the garden court. Are you experiencing grief? We invite you to join us for our Being Present with Grief Circle on November 20th at 7 p.m. It takes place in the meditation room. Next Sunday is Gratitude Sunday at Unity Minneapolis. Please join us for this special service. Then the following weekend, our Thanks Living service with Holy Communion moves to Sunday morning, November 26th. A simple lunch will follow the service. We ask you to bring a ready-to-serve soup to share. Unity will provide the bread and salad for this community meal. Wendy Brown Baez leads the Practice of Delight, a three-week series affirming that whatever is happening in the world, there is beauty and grace in and around us. This starts on November 29th. Reverend Pat's Advent class, Younger Next Christmas, begins Thursday morning, November 30th, using Deepak Chopra's book, Grow Younger, Live Longer, 10 Steps to Reverse Aging. I'm interested in that one. join Reverend Pat and his special guests in this four-week series. Reverend Tony leads a weekly peace meditation on Sundays from 5 p.m. to 5:45 to hold the vision of peace in our world. You can join via Zoom. And now, please join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer.
Thank you. Join me in our opening prayer. I invite you just to go to that place within that only you can go. And as we gather here today in this beautiful sanctuary, we open our hearts to the light that unites us all. Today, we come together as a spiritual community, recognizing the beauty of each soul's unique journey. Sweet Holy Spirit, in this tapestry of life, we acknowledge that our paths are still unfolding, and we embrace the divine mystery of the unfinished. So it is in this awareness today that we hold each other in prayer. It is in this awareness today that we hold peace in our world, joy in our lives. And we're grateful that we know this divine presence within as peace, as joy, as comfort. And for that, we are grateful. So together we say, thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day, okay? We invite you to stand for our opening song if you're able to do so. The fabulous Patty Peterson with us today. And we have you with us today, the fabulous you today. Now applaud yourselves. Oh, yes, yes. We are so grateful you're with us today. You know, Unity is that opening and welcoming, inclusive community. We teach practical things here that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. lives. And because we are an opening, welcoming, inclusive community, and because one of our core values here of that is welcoming, we want to welcome you that are with us today as our guest. And we certainly welcome you online as well. So if you're a guest with us today, I invite you to take your courage in your hand, and I know we have some guests out there. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Yes, keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. I met many of you before the service. Our ushers get to you. That packet of information tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's a card in there. There's a pink card. If you choose to fill out any part of that card and turn that into our welcome and information table located in the garden court, we have a special gift for you. And those of you, dear friends, that are online with us today, there's a link there. If you fill out any part of that contact card, someone from our staff, one of our ministers, will reach out to you and give you that special welcome as well. All of that's important. And yet, one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, dear friends, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of God, the divine, within you. Let's appreciate our guest, okay? Now, let's affirm together our core values as a community. Our core values as a community, they are in your order of service. Our core values together. We are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. Again, together. We are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. Oh, my goodness. You know, I easily fall in love. Have you noticed that? I have fallen madly in love with our speaker today. She is amazing. She is an amazing person. This past weekend, as you know, well, some of you missed me. I appreciate that. Some of you didn't, and I appreciate that, too. But this past weekend, I was at the Christine Center in Wisconsin. It's a beautiful retreat center, and they have a wonderful bookstore there. And as I was going through that bookstore, what do you think was featured in that bookstore? This book right here. And I was feeling guilty for not being in church that day when I saw this. But it's just great being here. Listen, our speaker today, she kicked off our series, and she's going to bookend our series for us as well. She's a writer. She's a teacher. She's been immersed in the works of words for most of her life. She currently lives in St. Paul, Minnesota, on the homelands of the Dakota and Ojibwe people. Author of Writing to Wake the Soul, Opening the Sacred Conversation Within, and Trusting Change, Finding Our Way Through Personal and Global Transformation. This book was newly published in 2022. She's also an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. I said in our prayer circle, she's just a closeted unity minister. She's fabulous. Unitarian Universalist minister, serving as a consultant minister since 2008. She leads online groups. She's really have helped communities go through change, and our community is certainly going through some changes, and we're really grateful that she's here today. Would you please give a warm, all the way from St. Paul, would you please give a warm welcome to Reverend Karen Herring, okay? Now the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You're invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days. Then they're forwarded to Silent Unity, where they're prayed for an additional 30 days. The word for today is faith. We affirm, faith heals, prospers, blesses, and sustains me. Sometimes I wish I had a way of looking into the future and knowing what to expect. But even though I cannot know how the future might unfold, I can still be prepared for it through the power of my faith. Having faith means I have unwavering fidelity to spiritual truth. My faith is my anchor, keeping me steady during shifting worldly circumstances and focused not on the things of the world, but on the power of spirit. My faith keeps me steadfast in the midst of uncertainty, inventive when with stagnation, adaptable when facing changing circumstances. I turn my attention to God and feel my soul illumined by my belief that everything is working for good. I align with this truth and go forth, blessed by my faith. And scripture tells us, for we walk by faith, not by sight, from 2 Corinthians 5:7. The word for today is faith.
I invite you to join me in meditation. Find a comfortable position. Gently close your eyes. And allow the rhythm of your breath to guide you into a place, a space of peace and stillness. Take a deep breath, drawing in the energy of this present moment, and exhale, releasing any tension or resistance. As we embark on this meditation, let us embrace the essence of change, the journey not yet finished, and the mystery that unfolds with each unique step. Picture a path stretching before you, winding through the landscape of change and mystery. Each step is a sacred dance with the unknown, the opportunity to embrace the beauty of the unfolding journey. With gratitude, step onto this path, trusting the wisdom of the universe, trusting the wisdom of God, known by many names, to guide you. And as you walk, notice the diversity of the terrain beneath your feet, the smooth paths, the rocky patches, and yes, even the open meadows. And in the stillness, in the silence, affirm to yourself, I embrace the mystery of my journey. With each step, I unfold the unique story of my life, and I trust divine guidance that lights my way. I embrace the mystery of the unknown. And we do so in the stillness and in the silence. Thank you, God, for the stillness and the quiet, the peace of the silence. And as we conclude this meditation, carry this sense of openness, trust, and excitement for the journey not yet finished into the unfolding moments of your day. And when you are ready, just gently open your eyes. And may the wisdom of the unknown continue to inspire and to guide you on your sacred journey, trusting change. Thank you, God. Amen.
There's a hero. If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are. There's an answer. If you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know cast your fears aside, and you know you can survive. When you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you will finally see the truth that a hero lies in you. It's a long road when you face a world alone. No one reaches out a hand for you to hold. You can find love if you're searching within yourself, and the emptiness you felt will disappear. Fears aside, and you know you can't. that I hear all lies in you.
Thank you. Remember.
Good morning, fellow heroes. And thank you for that extraordinary music. Beautiful. Thank you all for inviting me back here today. It is a joy to be with you, and I begin with a story. I was hiking on a mountainside with my husband David in the Julian Alps, and after a few hours, we discovered the path we were on disappeared beneath a swath of loose rocks for about 20 feet ahead of us. The field of scree, as they call it, or rubble, likely the remnants of an earlier avalanche, originated far above our view and stretched about 25 feet below us before disappearing over a precipice. There was no going around it. We would have to cross it. David, in his typical style, moved quickly across without hesitating. In 7 long, rapid strides, he easily reached the other side where the path continued and the ground was solid. He turned away from me. I made the mistake of pausing and watching. I saw the loose rocks shift beneath his feet with each bold step. I saw the rocks clattering down the mountainside and tumbling out of sight over the edge. I heard them landing in distant percussion far, far below. Slowly, I followed, but I lingered too long on those loose rocks. I began slipping down with them, sending more of them tumbling over the edge. And the more I slipped, the harder it was for me to move forward until finally, in the middle of the rocks and sliding slowly toward the precipice, I stopped walking altogether. I froze. Terrified, I looked first toward the rocks disappearing over that ledge below me, and then toward David standing on the solid ground now 4 or 5 feet above me. Frozen by my fear, I could not move, even as the rocks beneath my feet continued sliding downward. "Keep moving," David shouted at me, his voice finally jolting me. from my paralysis and pulling me forward like a lifeline until I finally reached the other side, where I collapsed in tears and relief. Have you ever known this feeling, literally or metaphorically? When you're on such unsteady ground, a shifting terrain that does not hold your weight or your confidence, there are so many uncertain paths like this, often found on the threshold of great change. They are every bit as unreliable as a path of loose rocks. In the 6 weeks since I have been here with you on October 1st, many of you have been reading and discussing my book, Trusting Change, which is about living on the threshold, that space between what was and what is not yet. The threshold is, which is that passage into the unknowns of any journey as yet unfinished. And those of you in the discussion groups might have been considering thresholds on your own lives, perhaps thresholds in your shared congregational life here, which I understand there are many right now, or in the world around us. Yours could be a threshold of a job change or a retirement, of a new relationship or home, of children arriving or departing. You might be on a threshold of change you've longed for, or maybe one you did not ask for at all that involves horrific loss. Any of these thresholds can shift the ground beneath our feet, leaving us uncertain, unsteady, maybe even fearful about how to move forward. And whether or not you're personally living on the threshold of significant change today, or whether or not you've been in one of these book discussion groups, I want to suggest that every one of us in this room and well beyond, we are all now experiencing the shifting ground and frightening uncertainties of a world that is shattered by violence in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in our own nation, in communities, and around the world. How do we keep moving on the shaky ground of times like these? When I go to church on Sunday, especially when living through precarious times and events, I'm comforted to hear the words that are often spoken in my home congregation, where we say that church is a place where we can find and keep our balance. But I also have to ask, what does it mean to keep one's balance in shaky times? Is that the same as solid ground? And what does it have to do with all those spiritual teachings that tell us the experience of groundlessness itself is one of the key conditions of spiritual growth? Another story. This one from the writer Philip Simmons in his book, Learning to Fall. He's recalling his first experience of groundlessness in a childhood tumble. My earliest memory, he writes, I'm standing alone at the top of the stairs, looking down, scared. I call for my mother, but she doesn't come. I grip the banister and look down. I have never done this before on my own. It's the first conscious decision of my life. On some level, I must know that by doing this, I am becoming something new. I am becoming an I. The memory ends here. My hand gripping the rail above my head, one foot launched into space. You guessed it. Despite the scar that came from this tumble, he says, he has no regrets. He continues and says, is not falling as much as climbing our birthright? Falling forward and down into the scarred years of conscious life. Falling into the knowledge of pain, of grief, of loss. End quote. Simmons wrote this essay as his response to a diagnosis of ALS when he was 35. Learning to Fall, as he titled the essay in the book that contains it, explored his experience of this debilitating disease that first robbed his legs of strength and eventually would take his life. It is a profound and beautiful book that I recommend to all of you that companioned me as my own mother suffered from this disease as well. Simmons writes this, quote, "Think again of falling as a figure of speech. We fall on our faces. We fall for a joke. We fall for someone. We fall in love. In each of these falls, what do we fall away from? We fall from ego. We fall from our carefully constructed identities, our reputations, our precious selves. We fall from ambition. We fall from grasping. We fall, at least temporarily, from reason. And what do we fall into, he asks? We fall into passion, into terror, into unreasoning joy. We fall into humility, into compassion, into emptiness, into oneness with forces larger than ourselves, into oneness with others whom we realize are likewise falling. We fall at last into the presence of the sacred, into godliness, into mystery, into our better, diviner natures." End quote. As my mother's ALS progressed about a half year before she died, I asked her what she could tell me about her experience. By that time, she had lost her ability to use her legs, her arms, her hands. She was only able to eat through a feeding tube, and she was unable to speak more than a few words unless she used a computer that she directed with her eyes. Thank God for technology. I asked her what it was like to live through so much loss. And what she told me couldn't have surprised me more. It didn't feel like she'd lost that much, she said. Mostly, she explained, it felt like being surrounded by an abundance of love. This was not a denial of the ways in which she suffered. They were too many, too deep, and too ever-present to disregard. But in that moment, what she most wanted me to know was how her awareness of love had been expanded by her illness and its losses. I want to be clear, this is not about making lemonade when life gives us lemons. This is about the gifts of letting go, about the gifts of groundlessness that can occur when we do let go. Whether we are falling into illness, into a change of circumstance, falling in love, or falling into the grief of extraordinary loss. It's about letting go of certainty, and discovering this can be such a big step into relationship, into compassion, into mystery, or as Simmons wrote, into the presence of the sacred and our own better, diviner selves. When we come together in our communities of faith, as we are doing here today and online, perhaps it is not solid ground, but the gifts of groundlessness that we find, not the balance of standing still, or holding fast to the way things are as history marches on without us. No, in transformative faith, the balance we discover is a balance in motion. The balance that involves sometimes some waving of arms, sometimes wild, sometimes graceful, a balance of relationship that calls each of us on the slippery rock sides of our lives and all our questions and our losses and fears. And it says to us, keep moving. Isn't this what worship does too? And the music in worship, which we've been moved by today, and music elsewhere, and art, all of these are meant to move us, to move our hearts, to move our lives toward love, toward joy, toward transformation, toward peace. We are living now through times of tremendous shifting and no small amount of dizziness. Life now insists that we encounter groundlessness, writes the organizational guru Margaret Wheatley. She says, systems and ideas that seemed reliable and solid dissolve at an increasing rate. Sound familiar? Strategies that work suddenly don't. Groundlessness is a frightening place, she says, at least at first. But as the old culture turns to mush, we would feel stronger if we stopped searching for solid ground. If we sought only to locate ourselves in the present and do our work from here, end quote. Here, right here on the threshold, in the middle of change, still unfolding on a journey that is not yet finished, right here and now, always. The German activist Rudolf Barrow once said, when the forms of old culture are dying, the new culture is created by a few people who are not afraid to be insecure. Are you unafraid to be insecure? I'm not usually. Is this perhaps, though, the balance of groundlessness that we find in a life of faith? The balance of movement, the balance of relationship that can calm our fears on the threshold as our old culture is dying and the new one is yet to be created. In my younger years, I played the clarinet. And when I was 17, I was both thrilled and terrified when my clarinet teacher invited me to play the first clarinet part in the Fox Valley Symphony's performance of Ravel's Bolero. Some of you know that piece, I hear. It was my first experience playing with a real orchestra under the baton of a professional conductor. And we would have two performances on subsequent nights in the Lawrence Chapel, and my clarinet teacher would sit next to me playing the E-flat clarinet part in Bolero's work. Now, as I'm guessing some of you know, the clarinet part in Ravel's Bolero is not terribly difficult, but it is dramatically exposed. The piece begins with a rhythm from a single drum and the soft plucking of violas and cellos. Bum, ba-da-da-dum, bum, bum, ba-da-da-dum, bum. Several measures later, a single wandering melody comes in from the flute, which is soon handed off to the clarinet as the only instrument playing this theme for almost a full minute. Da 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 da. You know it. On the evening of our first concert, I sat nervously on the edge of my chair, clarinet to my lips, my eyes trained on the conductor. The drummer began from the back of the stage, and as the flute solo neared its end, the conductor's eyes bore into mine. Then, in the split second before my solo began, I lost my place, my footing, my solid ground. Just like that, I lost the beat. The room began to spin. I missed my cue. To my horror, the first measure of my solo passed in silence. The conductor's face knotted in an angry grimace, and I hastily drew a breath and jumped in 2 measures late. After the concert, the conductor said nothing to me. He called my teacher to the side for a terse exchange, and later my teacher told me the conductor had forbidden me to play the solo the next night. I could play the lead part for the rest of the piece, but the opening solo was to be played by my teacher, who would bring his B-flat clarinet and be prepared to play the solo instead of me. I was crushed and relieved. My teacher, however, had a different idea. I was to spend the entire next day practicing my entrance, and then in the concert, the next night, at the beginning of the piece, my teacher would raise his B-flat clarinet to his lips. But on the conductor's cue, I would be ready to, and I would be the one to play the solo. Perhaps I don't need to tell you how much this terrified me. Some of the most unsteady ground I have ever been on has been the ground that breaks up, shifts, and slides like an active avalanche during and after my own failures. I begged my teacher to play the solo, and he refused. That evening, my hands were shaking as the concert began, and the conductor raised his baton, nodding at my teacher. No one noticed that I had raised my instrument to my lips, too. But when the conductor's baton went up, I came in exactly on cue. Building volume through that first long note of the solo while my teacher lowered his clarinet to his lap and the conductor looked from my teacher to me with great anger. Then, realizing he had no choice, he offered me a grudging nod, and I snaked my way successfully through the rest of the solo and song. Friends, heroes or not, we are living in times made unsteady by countless mistakes and failures. Many of them our own doing. We have missed many cues. Collectively and individually, we often have not come in when we were and are most needed. We have failed to protect the earth, the poor, the children of this world. We have failed to bring meaningful peace where it is most needed. Our journey is not yet done. Are we willing to try again? To feel ourselves falling? To acknowledge our failures? And even so, to let go of our fears, of our egos, of our certainty, of how things should be, and of what should have been done by ourselves and others, long enough to let ourselves be moved? To keep moving back into relationship, first and foremost into relationship with God, but also relationship with ourselves and with one another. All of us falling, all of us unsteady in the challenges of our times. Keep moving, we might call to one another. On the shifting ground we share, encouraging each other to look up, look out at our fellow travelers, to pick up the lifeline of encouragement and relationship they are throwing to us, or if we are sure-footed, to toss a lifeline to someone else. How do we do this? One powerful way is by blessing each other on our journeys as yet unfinished, whether they're personal journeys or shared journeys. A blessing, after all, is that gift that we give and receive as one of the fruits of kinship and connection As John O'Donohue liked to say, it awakens future wholeness. A blessing can restore us to our own power and confer on us safe passage through the many changes life brings our way. A blessing can assure us and remind us that we need not and in fact ought not live through change alone. So we are going to end this sermon by blessing one another. And as I ask Reverend Tony and Reverend Pat to join me up here on the platform, I want to ask all of you to join us now in reading the blessing that you have. If you're here in the sanctuary, you have it as an addition to your bulletin. And if you're online with us today, I invite you to receive this as spoken to you, because we will be speaking and receiving this at the same time. It is a blessing that draws its sacred power from your congregational relationship with each other and your commitment to live together through good times and hard ones, through bounty and loss, through celebration and sorrow, through stability and wild unsteadiness. Will you join me now in bringing that great power into this blessing that we will speak and receive? Those of you in the sanctuary here, I invite you to stand and turn toward the center aisle so that you can see each other and experience. Go ahead and turn toward anybody that you can see. And we will read this antiphonally, but as you do, I invite you to take one hand, if it's free from holding something, put it on your heart so that you can feel your own touch and let that guide this blessing into your being. And for those of you at home, put your hand on your heart too, if you can, and hear these words as spoken to every one of us. And if you are on a particularly poignant or difficult threshold of your own right now in your personal life, you don't have to speak the words. Just let them wash over you and receive them from your ministers up here, from your fellow congregants. These are words offering you blessing and strength and support. So please join us now reading responsively. For all those standing on a threshold, about to step into the unknown,
we are standing with you.
Although we may not know the particulars of your threshold, which is uniquely yours, we offer you our hands for steadiness in your path, our compassionate ears to hear your hopes and fears, and our open hearts to share the joys and sorrows of your passage, spoken and unspoken. As you step toward the uncertainty of all that is unfolding, we remind you of the love that holds you certain and true. May your inner light guide you, and may you learn to trust that light, even when it does not shine very far down the road. If your light begins to flicker and fade, we will offer you sparks to reignite it. May your heart remain open to grieve what you are leaving and to receive the gifts that will come your way in this crossing. May you be blessed by courage to keep standing into the life that awaits you. May you be blessed by compassion, especially for yourself. May this passage bring you new discoveries and renewed faith and offer you a gateway to ancient wisdom and healing wholeness. May you always remember the pledge of this community
extending hand and heart, open to you in all that is to come.
May it be so, friends. May we all keep moving toward one another, toward God and the transformative power of love, of joy, of relationship, and of peace. Amen.
Let's appreciate that.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause I got nowhere to go. That's why I'm selfish love. It's time that I realize there is someone with no hope, not a nickel to loan. Could it be greedy, pretending that they're not alone? A willow deeply scarred, somebody's broken heart, and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind, you see, 'cause they got why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to make a change. I'm asking with the man in the mirror. I'm asking.
I can always tell when Patty Peterson is here. It's amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, we thank you, number one. We can have services like this because of you, because of your contributions. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. So we're going to invite you to make that gift to Unity Minneapolis this morning as we practice that spiritual law of circulation, that spiritual law of giving and receiving. Of course, there's offering baskets. There's secured online giving at unityminneapolis.org. Donate. Also, there's a QR code in your bulletin as well. Also, we receive checks in the mail. You can also donate by Venmo or PayPal. We make it easy, hopefully. So I'm going to invite our ushers to come forth as we prepare to receive and practice that spiritual law of circulation. I'll affirm our offertory blessing once. I'll ask you to affirm it with me, and then we will do it silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Silently. Thank you, God. So let us take a moment as we bless these gifts. We bless all the gifts that's been received this week. And we send these gifts forth to fulfill our vision and our mission of a transformed world. Knowing and giving thanks that each day we have a second chance to make a difference. And for that, we are grateful. So together we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful piece of music. Thank you. And also, yesterday was Veterans Day. I'd like to take just a moment, please, to invite all of our veterans in this congregation to please stand and allow us to honor your presence and your service. Please stand. Veterans, please. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Last week when I was away, Reverend Kevin and Reverend Tony installed 23 prayer chaplains into this community, and we are indeed blessed. The foundation of this community is prayer, and those prayer chaplains help us hold that foundation. Will the prayer chaplains on duty today please stand? These individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in the sanctuary. They're here to hold that sacred space with you. They're here to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, maybe something around your threshold, a prayer request, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Prayer changes you. God bless you. Please be seated. Okay, I believe that I want to take just a moment as we appreciate our youth. Let's bring them in. We invite you to please stand, and let's bring our youth in.
Today in Sunday school, we talked about gratitude and thank yous and all the things in the world that we could be grateful for. And then we discussed what it would be like without certain things like a bed to sleep in, a family, insects, the color blue. And then we made a gratitude tree.
Oh.
The kids stuck all the leaves on.
Lynn Jensen here, our beloved Cassidy's away on vacation. We not only thank Lynn, but we thank all of these adult volunteers. Yes. Oh my gosh. I think we have the most beautiful children in the world here at Unity, don't you? That's amazing.
We do.
So I invite you, as you remain standing, let us know our prayer for protection. I also invite you to speak to at least three people in the sanctuary that you do not know before you leave today. So let us know together our prayer for protection. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is swell.
Week.
birds singing a song, nothing but blue skies from now on. Well, I never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right, noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my heart will fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Skies from now on.
Blue skies.